Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? Come on, you excited about Jesus today? So good to be with you here today. We are one church in four locations, and I get to be with you here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights this morning. And we're going to continue this good news. How many of y'all know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news? Come on, it is really, really good news. It's awesome, and if you haven't heard this good news, we're going to share it with you today. Hey, we're going to be in Mark chapter 2, and we're going to be going over five verses in Mark chapter 2, and then we're going to refer to a couple other verses to highlight what I believe God is saying to us today. Now, before I get there, I wanted to read a couple verses to you to encourage your heart here today. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, this is what the Lord says to Bridge City Church here. And it says, "You will be in Babylon for 70 years." Now, this isn't an encouraging word at this point. It is Babylon is a place of confusion, a place of not sure what's going on. It's a place of, Babylon a lot of times refers to the world system. And God's saying, hey, you're going to be in a state of confusion. You're going to be in a place of the world, confused here. But don't stop there. He says, but I will come to you and I'm going to do all the good things that I have promised. How many of y'all know that God has promised a lot of good things? And it's not only good things for me, but it's good things for we. See, the promises of God are always wrapped up in his people, not just for me as a person. Really big to understand there. And I will bring you home again. I don't know where you are today, but I believe God is welcoming you home today. Come on, somebody. Home is where he is. Yeah, and God says, I know the plans I have, says the Lord, for they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I believe God is saying to us here today that he does have a future and a hope, but many people here today are in a place of confusion. You may be in a place of you're uncertain. You may be in a place of you're not even certain about this gospel of Jesus Christ. But you came to a good place because together we're learning what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ. Is anybody with me here? See, and the good news is you can't earn it and you don't deserve it. And that's why when I say, how are you doing? You say, better than I deserve. And so how are you doing? That's right, you're doing better than you deserve because of Jesus Christ and only what he can do in our lives. And God does have a future, he does have a hope. And so today I want to answer the question, how do we get to this last song that we sang in worship, which was all about being renewed and being like this new wine that God wants to produce? How do we continue to be pliable with the good news of Jesus Christ and together continue to be a place where God pours out his new wine? Now, many of you here today, you're like, that is very Christianese. I'm not even sure what new wine is, okay? But I'm going to help you understand that today. Are you ready to go today? Are you ready? How many of y'all know that God has a future and a hope? Come on, does God have a good one for you? But his promises are for us. That's it. That's it. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 2 today. Mark chapter 2. And I'm going to cover about five verses today and explain some things to you. And I believe you're going to leave here with a better understanding of what it means to be a new wineskin, what it means to be renewed and contain what God wants to do as a people. Once again, verse 18, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Now, that means just doing without food for spiritual purposes here. Some people came to Jesus and asked, why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do? Like, why aren't you fasting? Like, why aren't you doing what you do here? And Jesus replied, do wedding guests fast while celebrating the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them. Now, Jesus is giving a prophetic picture at this point that he is the bridegroom. He is the groom. We as the church are considered the bride of Christ. Now, I know all the men out there, it's kind of, it's difficult to understand what it means to be the bride. Come on, guys. Am I, Yeah, I don't get the whole bride thing, okay? I'm having trouble, but I do understand when I go to a wedding, I see what brides go through for that wedding. And there's a lot of preparation. Where are all the brides out there? Come on. Is there a lot of preparation? And you want to make sure everything's just right. Come on, yeah. So you know there's a lot of something going on. But we're being prepared. So in biblical times when this was written and what Jesus was saying here, and when Mark wrote this, roughly about 60 to 62 AD, what he was saying here, during a wedding would last at about a week. And it was like there was one rule about the wedding that happened in biblical times. You had to have fun. There had to be joy. As a matter of fact, if there were any man-made commandments, you didn't have to obey them during that week so that nothing interfered with joy. So what Jesus is referring to, the groom is there, and he's not saying you don't ever have to fast again. Jesus said later in different texts that when you fast. So there's a time for fasting. What Jesus was saying, the time of fasting isn't now. He was saying the groom is here and there's going to be a celebration. So you have to understand this in context to what Jesus is doing. And they were trying to find Jesus in fasting. So here they are. They're saying, well, why don't you do it? And he's like, okay, you don't understand. While the groom here, it's going to be about joy. It's going to be about all these things that God provides during this time. So let's go to verse 21. Besides, who could patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. What I believe Jesus is saying here is this. What he's speaking to, the old covenant, basically the first two-thirds of the Bible, speaks a lot of, we consider that the Old Testament, which speaks to the old covenant. Many people think that you shut that part off and we only focus on Jesus now. Not true. The Old Testament leads us to the New Testament. One shows us the need for the other. The whole Bible is very important because the Old Testament tells us you can't do this on your own. We can't be good enough for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the New Testament is all about grace and empowerment here. And so he's saying that but what he's saying to us, I believe today, is that our old religious, brittle, stiff thinking can't contain what Jesus wants to do in our lives. And so so what he's saying is there's a new way, there's an empowerment, there's a freedom that's coming. But you can't, Jesus, listen, I'll just say it like this. Jesus doesn't want to patch up your life. He wants to give you a new life. See, many people just want a patch on their life. They want to patch me up and send me on. No, Jesus wants to give us a new life. A gospel of Jesus Christ is about a new life. That's the new covenant. We don't have to live with all of our old stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, this is good stuff. Come on, you don't have to live with all that. We can live with newness. We can get free. Come on. That's exciting here. So let's go to verse 22. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst, the wineskins and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. Okay? So new wine, new wineskins, and we sang a song about this. So I want to try to give clarity here. Yes, Jesus is speaking about the old covenant and the new covenant. A new covenant. I don't know about you, but I'm glad Jesus didn't come to sign a contract. He came to make a covenant. Because a contract is all about if one party, you or God, doesn't do your part, you're allowed out. A covenant says we in this for the long haul. Come on, somebody. A covenant is a relationship. It's not a contract. See, many people in church, what they really have is they have a contract with God. And as soon as God doesn't do his part, I'm out. And they think, well, I didn't do my part, so I'm out and you're out. They're always looking for an out. But God's not like that. A covenant is a relationship. There's a commitment in the relationship. Natalie and I made a covenant. We didn't make a contract. If we would have made a contract, it'll be 36 years this October, one of us would have got out already. She said, mm-hmm. No, right? But it's not a contract. It's a covenant. That means we're in it for the long haul, baby. We're going to make this work. That's what God's saying to us today. So, but how do we do this? So let's look at what wine is. Wine really symbolizes here life, joy, abundance, divine blessing. How many of y'all could use a little bit of that in your life? Come on, somebody. Yeah. But it symbolizes the blood of Christ, power, and it symbolizes the Holy Spirit, freedom. What Jesus is saying, I want to give you a power and a freedom that can only come from Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. But it got to be poured into something new, because if it's poured into something old, I believe our lives together create the wineskin that God wants to pour his freedom and blessing into. You alone are not the wineskin. I believe that speaks to his church, his people. That's who the promises are for. Okay, so new, what he wants to give us is something recently discovered, new in quality and in time. It symbolizes hope, renewal, breaking away from the past. I want to tell you today that God, I believe, is speaking to Bridge City Church right now. And I believe he's saying, I want you to break away from the past. I want you to break away from that thing that's hindering you. Many people, even in this room, in a super great church, I threw that in as extra, here, it's easy to get old thinking. It's easy to get dried up in our thinking. It's easy to think rituals please God. Rituals don't please God. Relationship pleases God. I didn't get married for a ritual of eating dinner together. But eating dinner together is good, right? But we didn't get married for the ritual of that. Are you seeing? There's a likeness here. And what God, I believe, is saying, he wants to pour something new into our lives. But it can't be poured into a religious thinking. And even us in a church like this, we can slip into complacency, brittle, a dry thinking if we're not careful. We think that we came to a point of maturity. Now I really can please God. And he's so impressed by me. God help us. No, God help us if we think that. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ I come before him. Come on. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ we have freedom and we have power. Are you with me here today? See, I believe God's saying there's a time of renewing. I believe there's a time of power and freedom here. We started off this decade way back in 2020, okay? And then there was that little thing that happened. It was called COVID. Some of you may have heard of it. And then now we're halfway through the decade. And when we started this decade, God really spoke to me that he gave me and the leaders of our church a 2030 vision. That means a 10-year vision. We're halfway there now, and I want to speak to you prophetically now. What's it going to take for God to pour out a new wine, blessings, abundance, and life to us? Because if we're not careful, we'll think that God is pleased with us on our own and not by him. So I want to tell you, yes, old thinking, brittle thinking can come into our minds. God's process of renewing involves four steps of faith. Four steps of faith: saturated, smeared, Sabbath, and stretched. Okay, now, how many of you men and women out there remember maybe baseball or softball season when it came by? How many of y'all remember that? I remember like early spring, I just remembered like baseball season was coming. Now, this is a softball, it's a softball glove. I could not find my original baseball glove. I looked everywhere for it, okay? And so every year, right about spring, my dad would say, "Where's your ball glove?" And since I didn't use it for 6 months, I had to go find it. How many of y'all know what I'm talking? You go find it, right? You go look for it. And one of the first things that we had to do with that old glove, because it sat for so long and it wasn't being used, first thing you had to do was, most of the time when I found my glove, it was covered in mud because I didn't clean it at the end of last year. So I had to get all the dirt off it. And so to be honest, I would just take a damp cloth and just, first thing you got to do is just clean it off. Get all the dirt and muck off it. Okay? Then the next thing you do, what'd you do next? Once you cleaned it off, then you got some oil, right? Right? Come on. Yeah, you got some oil. You start rubbing that oil in there. My dad's like, you got to get every bit of that oil all over. You got to get every bit. Don't miss it. Don't miss one area. You got to get that oil on there. Okay, now this is an old glove. As you can see, this was bought, I think, in the late 70s, actually, from Kmart. How many of y'all remember Kmart? Okay, very good. I see those hands. Come on, somebody. Others, you can Google it. And then what we'd do is, after you'd oil it, you'd put the ball in it, and you'd usually put a belt around it. And then you'd just let it sit, right? Then the next day, Dad would say, where's your ball glove? And you'd get it out and you'd put oil all over it again. And then you'd put the ball in it, you'd wrap it up, and you'd let it sit. And then, where's your ball glove? You'd put oil all over it, you'd let it sit. Okay? And then what you did, and if it was a newer glove, you just had to stretch it out. You start stretching. Are you with me? So there's a process by which you take your old glove and you make it new again. Okay? Now this glove needs a lot of work. I mean, this needs sewed up. This is a picture of some of our lives right now. Come on, your stuffing's popping out. Come on, somebody. I mean, it's just right out there. I mean, some of you say, hey, back off now. Okay. And some of y'all, you know, this is a sign you're going to eat a baseball real soon, okay, because these are going to break, and you're going to eat that baseball. It's going to be right in your teeth, okay, and then you're going to need orthodontic repair, and your parents are not going to like that, okay. So this is a ball glove. So that's the way that you take an old ball glove and you make it new again. See, to be honest, when I read this verse over and over for years, I always thought, why would you make an old wineskin new? Just throw it out and get a new one. Right? I mean, just get rid of it so God can do something new. Let's throw out the old and let's start. But every year, my dad never said, throw out the old glove, let's go buy a new one. My dad never said anything like that, just for the record. Okay, and any real parent says, where's your ball glove? We're going to fix it. We're going to renew it, right? So God, there's a process by which we get renewed and we get useful to God. Are you ready for that process? God is about to change your mindset. God is about to mess with your mindset about his church right now, right here, okay? And we got to give permission for God to mess with our mindset right now. So the first thing that we need to do as a church, we need to make sure the first thing you would do with an old wineskin, let me start there, you would take it, an old wineskin, you wouldn't just throw it out, you would soak it in water. Now, I never soaked my glove in water, but if you take an old wineskin, the first thing they would do, they would saturate it in water and let it sit, because they had to get all the dirt and grime off it. How many of you know the dirt and grime from the world gets in our mindsets? Dirt in mind gets there. A worldly mindset. We begin to look at things through our eyes rather than God's eyes. Anybody with me? See, God is right now, he wants to saturate us in his word to give us a new mindset and a new way to look at things. So you got to clean off the grit and the dirt and the mud that this world has thrown at us if we're ever going to become new. We got to throw out all of that and say, God, what are you doing with Bridge City Church right now? I got to get rid of that stuff here. Why? Because we've become dry. We've become brittle. We've become all of those things here that we need to throw off of our lives. But God doesn't just throw us out when we get old, brittle thinking. He saturates us in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 speaks of the washing of the Word of God. For Christ loved the church, and he gave up his life for her. Okay, that's what a bridegroom does for the bride. Are you catching me here? Any real bridegroom knows how to lay their life down for their bride. That's what we do, okay? And he says he washes and to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's Yeah, he washes us with the word. So right now, we need to make sure that we're being washed by the word of God. Right now, you're being washed by the word of God this morning. Something different is coming alive in your hearts here. So literally, what they would do is they would take the old wineskin and saturate it in water. The second thing that they would do is they would take the old wineskin in biblical days, and they would literally smear the presence, that smear oil all over the wineskin and rub it in, just like you used to do with your ball glove. They would rub that in, smearing the presence, smearing the oil of God all over that. It's rejuvenation here. This is Holy Spirit presence and empowerment here. It's a process of this. That's what he does. You smear with the anointing oil, Holy Spirit presence and empowerment here. Okay? See, so this was over and over and over. They would put oil all over it, massage it in, and then they'd put more oil. This is a long process. See, if you want to get renewed in God, if you want to be sanctified, set apart by God, for his purpose, there's going to be a process he puts you in. Now, anointing. How do you get anointed? This is, again, a Christianese word. What does that mean? Anointing literally means intimacy with God, and it's literally, anointing means smeared with oil. Smeared with oil. Oil is the symbol of God putting his yes and amen on your life. It comes from the word of God. It comes from prayer. It comes from obedience and faith. If we won't obey God, we'll never be anointed. I wish I could say that nicer, but there's no other way. Faith in God brings the anointing of God because it's there he shows up. If you want God to show up in your finances, begin to activate faith in your giving. He can show up and anoint your finances. If we want God to show up in our workplace, we pray, we hear God, we submit to him, we act on his behalf, and he begins to anoint our work for him. Oh, but that's unholy, that's secular. No, wherever you go, it's holy. See, it's intimacy with God brings his anointing here. So we soak, we keep massaging that in and in and in and in here. Why? Because we get inflexible to God. And the more inflexible we are to God, he cannot use us. And God wants to give a flexibility because he says new wine poured into an old wineskin, it'll expand. The wine, the blessing will be poured out, and the wineskin's destroyed, and nobody's helped. See, this is a new way. So we talk about intimacy with God and prayer and the word of God and worship like we had this morning. Come on, somebody. It's all about getting that presence of God on our lives so we become flexible for him and we don't tell him what we can and cannot do. So after you rub that, after you get that oil all over, then you let it sit. You remember you put the ball in there? You wrap it up, you let it sit. That's what we need to do. Once God pours out his oil on our lives and gets us flexible again, we need to just sit. This is Sabbath. This is resting in him. This is, see, a good Sabbath. I believe in the Sabbath. I really do. I believe in Sabbath rest. I believe in the Ten Commandments that are written in the Old Testament. I believe all 10 are good. I expected an amen. I'm not sure. Like, some of you are like, I'm not sure. I'm like 7 of 10. You know, it's like, yeah, like, no, I believe in all 10. And one of them is Sabbath. It's resting. It's sitting with God. Because first he washes us with the word, and we pray, and we worship, and we sit with him, and he allows to do something good in our lives. You know, it's that resting. It's that faith in God. You know, with Natalie and I, you know, we can do errands together. We can go to Lowe's and buy stuff for the house or go grocery shopping or run here and drop a car off to get oil change. We can do all that stuff together, and that's good, right? But I know that when we had a real date, like when we really date one another, at the end of the night, I remember I say, this is why I married this woman. Something in my heart comes alive. See, that's I remember something's rekindled. And when we're in church together, worshiping, hearing the word of God, worshiping him together, something should come alive, and you should be able to say, this is why I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. This is why I follow him. This is why I sacrifice. And because I spent time with him, sacrifice is no big deal. When I spend time with Natalie and I remember that, sacrificing and serving is no big deal. See, we're putting one thing in front of the other. And we're wondering why we become inflexible. We've wondered why we become brittle in our thinking. God is challenging us to get out of that thinking here. The last thing I want to say to you is this. Then you got to stretch that glove. You got to stretch it. Come on, you got to stretch it. God wants to stretch our lives. God wants to stretch you. God does some of his best work in stretching. Pastor Ben covered this last week. Abraham stretched out his hand in Genesis. God showed up when he stretched out his hand. Elijah stretched out his body on a child that was sick. Some people say dying. Healing. Jesus said, stretch out your hand. He healed it. Moses stretched out his staff. God showed up. God does his best work in the stretching. Now, there's also a part of when you take an old wineskin, they would beat it with a stick. I'm not going to talk about the beating of God right now. I just, but it's true. Sometimes when you're getting whacked by God, it loosens you up. Am I right? Come on. That's what we do here. That's what we're trying to understand here. And so what I'm trying to say is we got to get stretched. Our faith got to stretch. We got to learn God in a new way. We got to be willing to stretch out towards him. Do me a favor right now. Just lift up your hands right where you are. Just lift up your hands, stretch out your hands. Good. Okay, you're all obedient. Most everybody here is obedient. Very good. And so very good. Good job. Put them down now. Okay, that was good. You were obedient. You did exactly what was asked. Now, this time, I want you to stretch your hands even higher than you just did. Good. Stretch your hands higher than you just did. No, I think you can do better than that. Come on, stretch your hands higher. No, really high. Oh, stretch them high. Come on, I believe you can do better than that. Come on, I believe there's higher. Come on, stretch them up. There's a chair to step on. Why don't you step on the chair? Come on, there we go. There's a chair. Come on, there we go. Higher. Up in the balcony. You stretching up your hands up there? Come on, look at, they're higher than you right now. Come on. See, what just happened? You stretched a little further. You proved that you can do it. You were obedient, right? I'm obedient. I stretched my hand. No, but when you were challenged, and then when you were saying, I never thought we could stand on a chair. How did those people get up in the balcony? I want to be one of them. How can I get up on stage? How can I get on somebody's shoulders? This is the stretching of God that he wants to do in our lives. See, what I'm trying to tell you is if we will saturate in the Word and we will allow God to put his presence all over our lives, if we will sit with him and allow his intimacy to be drilled into us and be massaged into us, and we're willing to be stretched, we can be continue to be a new place where God pours in his divine blessings, his divine power, his empowerment, his freedom, his life. But it won't happen by the old way of thinking. It got to happen by a new way of thinking. That's what Jesus is saying here. Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul. I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things. I don't mean to say I've reached perfection. Now, I'm not saying that. But I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus has possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. I forget what lies behind. I forget the past. But I look forward to what God does. What I believe God is saying to us today is he wants us to look forward, but we can't get wrapped up in our rituals, our religiousness, our preconceived ideas of what God can and cannot do. He is massaging us because some of us in this room have become inflexible and brittle, and God is about to pour out his anointing in a new way. So we're going to give up our credentials. We're going to give up all the successes. We're going to give up all the failures. We're going to give up of our ideas about religiosity. And we're going to put into practice some outrageous faith. No, I said outrageous faith. Somebody spoke that word to me this morning. They said they believe God had encouraged me in outrageous faith. So if I'm going to have me some outrageous faith, you're going to too. Come on, somebody. See, we want outrageous faith, but we're going to have to go through the process of getting saturated. And when Pastor Ben shares it with you about the victory and freedom overnight, Friday and Saturday coming up, some of y'all have some dirt and grime in your mind that got to get washed out if God's going to do something new with us. Let's not be the people who hold back on what God wants to do. If you've heard something helpful to you today, if you've heard something that was encouraging to you today, just stand to your feet right where you are, right here, right now. I'm asking for just a commitment as you stand to your feet. Are you willing to surrender your mindset to God? Are you willing to surrender everything you are in your mind and say, God, I ask you to do a new thing in my heart? If that's you, just stretch your hand out to God right now. We'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody that has their hand up right now, Lord. God, I ask you, God, to continue to make Bridge City Church a place where new wine can be poured into a new wineskin. Renew us, Lord. Renew our mindsets. Renew us from religiosity back into an intimacy and relationship and joy. Lord God, thank you, Father, for that. So, Lord God, use us who our hands are raised to continue to create a place where freedom and power belong to Jesus. Amen. Just lower your hands. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way, you can't earn it or you don't deserve it. But if you would like to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, it takes this beautiful word called repentance, acknowledging you're a sinner and you can't earn salvation on your own. And I'm asking you to surrender and say, God, forgive me of my sin. I've missed the mark. God, I want to be a follower of you. If that's you this morning and you say, I want to begin this relationship with God the Father through what Jesus Christ has done and get his grace and power in my life, I want you to do something joyful, and I want you to do something really bold. I just want you joyfully to say, Pastor, that's me. Just lift up your hand right where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Come on. If that's you today. Come on. If that's you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Come on. Let's give God a hand. Come on. Thank God. Just keep up your hand right there. Now, this is maybe you want to renew your life to God. Maybe this is the first time. I can't decide which is which. But I do know this. There are people that want to pray for you this morning. So if your hand's up, this is what I want you to do, because we're going to continue to go here. If your hand's up, I want you to make your way into the aisle, and somebody's going to meet you back at the back. Come on, don't worry. Don't stare at me. Come on, make your way out of the aisle. Go ahead back. Come on, thank you. They're going to pray for you in the back. Why? Because you're a person. We value people. We value and honor people, not just statistics and numbers, but we value names. Come on, let's give God a great big hand. Pastor Ben, come on up here. Thanks for being so awesome.